In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, I mentioned last week at the last Body and Soul a phrase I often use, which is economy, or I talk a lot about the divine economy or the sacramental economy. And what I mean by that, in the word economy comes from two words in Greek, hoikos and nomos, which hoikos means house, nomos means law. So it means the law of the house. But in broader, figuratively, it's about the order of a system, right? The order that governs some particular system. And today's gospel, Jesus is talking precisely about that, especially in the second part of it, the whole of it, but the second part of it in particular. He's talking about God's economy, or the laws governing the spiritual dimension. And he's using the image of a banquet, a festive social occasion. So Jesus is invited to this banquet in the house of a local bigwig. There's a lot of pretension among the guests. They want to be seen as being part of the in crowd, the important people, the rich people. And some things never change. We can be like that too, when we're overly careful about how we dress, about the kinds of brands that we want to associate ourselves with, what parties we go to and therefore have been invited to, right? Name dropping, all that kind of stuff. Jesus, the gospel says, marked how they chose out the chief seats. In other words, Jesus notices the propensity of human psychology, and then he put forth a parable about it. This is usually the way with Jesus. He uses what the philosopher Soren Kierkegaard called indirect communication. He doesn't just come out and say things in a straightforward way. He notices something and then he tells a story, right? Why is that, by the way? I think for one thing, maybe Jesus wanted to create a market for priests to preach sermons to explain these things. It's a secret intuition. But probably, and more profoundly, and actually, he wants us, his readers, his audience, to mull over the narrative, not just to read it and go away, but to chew on it. Marinate in it is a phrase I often use. There's a collect in our prayer book, I think for one of the Sundays in Advent, that says that we are to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest Scripture. So our Lord's indirect communication is an invitation to do this, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest what he's saying. So Luke says that Jesus notices these party guests trying to make themselves out to be part of the in crowd, and he puts forth a parable. He says, "When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest seat, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him, the inviter, and he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest place." It says room in the gospel. Room is a kind of archaic word that means place. And Jesus says, "But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee." And then Jesus sort of gives us the moral. "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." So notice that Jesus doesn't actually rebuke the desire for exaltation, for glory. Jesus does not say that it's wrong to want to be glorified or exalted. He's actually giving us a method of being glorified or exalted. He's saying, as it were, okay, so you want to be glorified. Here's how. And the way that he offers is sort of like the way that he communicates. It's oblique. It's indirect. It's ironic. In ancient Greece, before the time of Socrates, 4th, 5th century BC, something like that, there was a philosopher they call pre-Socratic philosopher because he was before Socrates. Anyway, one of them was named Heraclitus. He's one of my favorite philosophers. They called him the Dark One. He used to sit in the temple of Artemis at Ephesus and play with kids because he said it wasn't worth hanging out with the leaders of Ephesus. It was better to play with children. Anyway, only fragments of Heraclitus's sayings have survived, mostly in the form of aphorisms that later philosophers quoted. We don't have any complete work of Heraclitus. But he is, by the way, the origin of the phrase, you can't step in the same river twice. He was the first one to come up with that. Another of his aphorisms has to do with what the Lord is talking about in this parable today. Heraclitus said, the way up is the way down. Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The way up is the way down, but also the way down is the way up. The point is that the desire for glory is not a bad thing, but our vainglorious desires are just petty intimations for a healthy desire that sits deep in all of our hearts, a desire for transcendent glory, a hunger for ultimate reality that we hardly know even how to articulate. My old buddy, St. Augustine, famously said in a prayer to God, Thou, O Lord, hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. Jesus seems to be suggesting that this restlessness within us can actually be made holy, can be sanctified. You can cultivate this restlessness and put it to a saving use when you understand that all of your petty desires for recognition, for validation, for being seen to be the right kind of person, a member of the in crowd, a superior sort of person, when you understand all these petty desires to be masking a deeper desire for something that is truly superlative, something transcendent, and the petty little desires can be sublimated into this deep hunger for ultimate reality. The thing is, though, this ultimate reality, which is really nothing other than God himself, this ultimate reality can only be given to us. We can't achieve it for ourselves. We can't reach out and take it. It's like I said last week about salvation, quoting the German phenomenologist Martin Heidegger, we can't save ourselves. Only a God can save us. We can't make him appear. What we can do, the only thing we can do, is cultivate within ourselves a readiness to greet the God when he appears. And that means embracing that void inside of us where the deep hunger lives. Embracing the restlessness of your heart, even fostering it, fanning its flames, and understanding it correctly. The Bible word for this is humility. As our Lord put it, whoever exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You want glory? We all want glory. Then humble yourself. When thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. And when Jesus says, when thou art bidden, I think that this can mean if and when you realize about yourself this dynamic. Some people never realize it, of course, but if and when you realize that your petty desire for social standing masks a far deeper hunger for something transcendent, when you say to yourself, there must be something more to life, then you should understand this to be God calling to you. You should recognize that you were actually made for this something more, made for glory. God destined you for glory. God desires for you to be exalted. He wants you to have the highest status imaginable. He wants you to become a partaker of the divine nature, as St. Peter said in his second epistle. He wants you to be a partaker of the divine nature, to become divinized. And moreover, this is God's free gift. He wills to fill our emptiness with his fullness. That is his desire for us. The little theological word for that is grace. It means that which is God's business, the activity that is all on God's side. That's what leads to glory, grace. What we can do, all we can do, is get in touch with our emptiness, our restlessness, the hunger, the deep hunger masked under layers of petty desires for status and so forth. We can fan its flames, fan the flames of the restlessness, the emptiness. St. Thomas Aquinas, who was, by the way, one of the clearest thinkers who ever lived, said this about God's grace and what it does for us, how it leads to exaltation. He said, "Grace has five effects in us. First, our soul is healed. Second, we will the good. Third, we work effectively for the good. We persevere. Fourth, and finally, fifth, we break through to glory." We break through to glory. "When thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.